Welcome to Behind the Slate screening series and our conversation with the sound team behind Air, presented by Amazon Studios. And now, please welcome our moderator.
Welcome to our conversation with the sound team behind Air, presented by Amazon Studios and Behind the Slate screening series. I'm Michael Coleman from the Soundworks Collection. And let's start by welcoming sound designer, supervising sound editor, and re-recording mixer Eileen Lee. Her past projects include Jojo Rabbit, La La Land, First Man, Deadpool, Wild, and Babylon. Welcome, Eileen.
Thanks. Thank you, Michael. Good to be here. To be talking about Air, the movie, and working with Ben and Billy.
Fantastic. Also joining us today is supervising sound editor Susan Dawes, known for her work on Jojo Rabbit, Deadpool, Babylon, Where the Crawdads Sing, and The French Dispatch. Welcome, Susan.
Hey, thank you so much, Michael. It's great to be here this morning. This movie was such a pleasure to work on. It's a movie that made me laugh consistently, and it was just a joy to be a part of this team. So thank you very much.
Fantastic. Next up, re-recording mixer Andy Nelson, known for his work on Avatar, La La Land, The Batman, The Fablemans, Elvis, and Babylon. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you. Good morning, Michael. Yes, great to be here and very happy to be involved in this picture. You know, absolutely loved working with Ben and Billy on this.
And finally, we have production sound mixer Willie D. Burton. Such films he's worked on includes War Games, Altered States, The Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, Dreamgirls, and Oppenheimer. Welcome, Willie.
Thank you, Michael. I'm so happy to be here this morning, especially among such talented group of people, sound team. And Ben and I, that was our third movie, and I'm happy to be proud of this film.
Awesome. Well, welcome, everybody. And I think to start things off, to set up this film Air, let's go and take a look at the trailer.
What is wrong with Nike?
We need some more players.
What about Jordan?
How the hell you gonna get Michael?
He loves Adidas.
Every player wears the same shoes. What if we create the shoe around the athlete?
Magic Johnson doesn't have his own shoe.
Exactly.
Can you get more red in?
51% of the shoe has to be white. Go find it.
What if we just pay the fines?
You'll get us both damn fine.
Yeah, okay, it's risky.
We should do it.
Are you trying to ruin your career?
Air, rated R. Watch now on Prime Video.
It was a joy to watch this film. I had a chance to see it when it first came out, and I've watched it now two more times. And every time I've watched it, I've picked up on new nuances. There are so many nuances to 1984, to the Nike office, to just the whole world of Air. Maybe for you, Eileen, let's start off with when you were first approached about the project. We're in Portland, Oregon. It's 1984. The film opens with one of my favorite tracks, Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. What were you thinking? What were your hopes in terms of setting the tone in place?
Well, one of the early conversations with like Ben and Billy is also, clearly it's, we have to establish the period. And so we needed to try to sell the period with sounds whenever possible. I was still a bit young in 1984, but I did remember it so we gathered a bunch of different sounds, like for the offices, you have Xerox machines, dot matrix printers, floppy disks, chattering, things like that, or then like a paper cutter. And then as far as like, the cars and stuff, they are, the cars are more like that last muffle and you hear more of the exhaust. Even if you're inside a room, we can add different textures and environments to, give it more depth in the scene. So I find that, it was a fun challenge to help support, it's so well written between, all the different characters. So as far as like the design and backgrounds, effects goes, we needed to establish and create a distinct environment between, the different rooms and conversations.
Yeah, Willie, I want to start with you because the film opens up with the introduction of Sonny Vaccaro, played by Matt Damon. He's at a basketball scouting trip and we're on a basketball court. And I would say you guys visit tile bathrooms, you visit office buildings. Like, I don't know if there was an ideal location, but I could just tell that from where the shoots were taking place, that there was some maybe probably creative challenges that you had to explore. What is it like also being on, you know, setting up with maybe this first scene on, you know, the basketball court with this dialogue scene with Sonny? How did you find, you know, being on that basketball court?
Well, I mean, the most important thing for me as a production mixer, when you have crowds of people and you're trying to record dialogue and separate the crowd background from the dialogue, it's always challenging. And the most important thing that, you know, even though you try to quiet the crowd down as much as possible, they still make a lot of noise. So the challenge is just trying to pull Matt Damon voice out of that, which I was able to do, which worked out quite well. And as a matter of fact, with the post team, sound team, which did an incredible job, which makes my job look even better than what I did, you know, what I recorded. So that's always great.
Andy, the next scene that follows is we're following Sonny to Las Vegas. Another great track, Blister in the Sun by the Violent Femmes. Sees betting. There's an old casino. What was just knowing how many needle drops were going to be in this film? There's so many iconic songs that were featured throughout. How did you guys handle these tracks? And what was kind of the coordination between kind of getting in and out throughout the picture?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I want to say, Billy, to Willie, what a great job you did, because you're absolutely right. We were able to use dialogue that was recorded in really tricky situations, and no director likes to have to ADR stuff. I haven't met one yet that loves to do that. So the more we can use original sounds, original production, the best. So a big thank you for that, because it was great. And so musically, yeah, you know, when you're dealing with needle drops from different periods as well, all from that kind of range in the mid 80s there. But, you know, they're going to come in various qualities and different feels. And some of them have been remastered into, you know, CD format and things. Some of them haven't had much done to them. So it's really a question of taking each one individually and listening to it. You know, when you play music off of a CD style into a movie theater, it sounds very different. You know, the sort of speaker equalization, everything about it is different. So it's really about making it sound punchy but warm and wrap around. We have to create some sort of 5-1 soundtrack from it, as opposed to just a stereo, things like that. So each one is sort of handled uniquely differently depending on the song, you know. And so, you know, it's something we do a lot. But in a film like this, which relies on it entirely, then it became a very important part of it. So it was fun blending those things in and out, and working with the backgrounds. As Eileen said, the interesting thing with the backgrounds was that, you know, you look at an office today and it's very quiet compared to those days. And so it was fun to busy that up and make that a workspace that sort of I can remember back then, and very different today. So I think that was the sort of fun part, and you know, blending the music with things like that. So but yeah, each thing was tackled individually and differently, and a lot of fun to do that, I have to say.
Well, one of the great introductions is we're following Sonny and we meet Howard White, played by Chris Tucker. And then we meet Rob Strouser, played by Jason Bateman. Susan, we walk into this conference room and there's a slide projector, and like nostalgia just comes back. Like, we can't ignore the fact that we are deep in the 80s and the technology of the time it has a certain sound to it. So what did you find just the office space? Because we spent a lot of time in the Nike office. How did you guys start to orchestrate and figure out when to highlight? Because there's a lot of great activity going on in the backgrounds and throughout the rooms.
Yeah. So when we spotted with Billy and Ben, there was a real effort to sculpt the moods that are going on in the offices throughout the film, and to make sure that the tone of the office place sort of reflected what's going on in the story at that time. So I appreciate that you noticed that. That's amazing. So yeah, we definitely made a lot of notes about, okay, at the beginning of the film, it's feeling like this. And then, you know, as it goes along, there's more tension, and or it's, at certain points, the office people aren't even aware of the behind the scenes tensions that are going on. So we definitely made an effort to play all that. And then we just sort of, you know, we worked with our voice casting team, Ranjini Brow, Ashley Lambert, Ariana Trames did a great job with our loop groupers. And we recorded, you know, everything from single conversations to pairs to groups to sort of be able to build that up as we needed to.
Fantastic. Well, let's go and take a look at the first clip, this one calling about MJ. It's a great kind of interaction. Let's go and take a look at that.
I'm calling about Michael Jordan.
I told Strasser months ago, it's never going to happen.
Well, you'd never talk to me.
I'm doing you a favor. Michael's not even taking a meeting with you.
What do you mean?
A meeting?
Group of two, maybe four or five executives in a room. They hear a pitch from a company. It's common business practice. Michael's not going to be doing that at night.
Don't fuck with me, Falk. Come on. What are the bids looking like?
It's not about the money.
When someone says it's not about the money, I know for sure it's about the money.
We decided to stretch the envelope. We want to hear what each company can do to promote Michael.
Okay. Well, then we're thinking along the same lines. That's why I want to have a meeting.
Well, coming off of that clip, it's a great clip between Sonny and agent David Falk, played by Chris Messina. The thing I do like and notice, and also we will notice later, is when Sonny has a conversation with Dolores Jordan, played by Viola Davis, you know, Michael Jordan's mother. There's a contrast between the office environment, which is sometimes crazier or a little more quiet, depending on what's going on at the time of day, and then the backgrounds. Willie, can you describe the set of The Office on the day of production? And what was it like also, you know, when we do visit Viola Davis in the backyard, you know, when she meets Sonny and whatnot? What was that environment like?
Well, when you're working on a set, an office set, you have a lot of background cast. And it's always challenging because what happens in our office, as we all notice that there's a lot of walk and talk shot, you know, long shots, walk and talking through the office. I mean, some of these scenes probably go a couple of minutes or so. And now we're trying to get from the beginning, walking through the office, in and out, we're trying to get all that sound. So, of course, my boom man is chasing him and we have the body bikes on and we're running over people, you know, and telling background to get out of the way. But It worked out really well. And the thing about it, I mean, we tried to get the background not to be so noisy. And there was a couple of times Ben said that I want to have the background make noise. And I thought, okay, this might not be good. But it worked out because we were able to say, okay, not so much noise, quiet a little quieter, you know, never take a little quieter. You're too noisy, you know. And so that worked out really well. For us. And when you go to Viola Davis, I mean, on the phone, I mean, that's a totally different environment. Now we need like quiet, you know, whatever noise is going on around us, we need everything to be quiet because it's a very intimate scene and a great scene as well. Matter of fact, one of my better scenes in the movie. I love that scene. But that has to be quiet. And the feeling has to be there from the sound standpoint of view. So I think it worked out quite well.
That's great. Let's go and actually take a look at that clip. This is between Sonny and Dolores meeting in the backyard. It's a great interaction. So let's go take a look at that.
What should I ask you?
Ask me why I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Why are you in Wilmington, North Carolina?
Because I believe in your son. I believe he's different. And I believe you might be the only person on earth who knows it. That's why I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina.
All right, Mr. Picaro, thank you for coming.
After we have this fantastic interaction between Sonny and Dolores, it sets the story off in a direction that's just so exciting to watch. I love it that we then visit the basement with a shoe designer, Peter Moore, played by Matthew Maher. And the thing that's great is he says, I need the greatest basketball shoe ever made. And then Let It Whip from the Jazz Band sets in. Like, did you guys know in the script, was there specific direction letting you know when these cues are going to drop and what the idea was, at least from page to screen, or no? Eileen, you're shaking your head.
So, you know, on the script for that scene, you know, there weren't like specific music cues for it. It's not mentioned on there, but I'm the music editor on the film. Corey, he did a masterful job at like source, like cutting in all these like really memorable, you know, 80s songs and picking the right tunes. And also Ben himself, at least from our interactions, you know, he is really, he's really well-versed and knowledgeable in like, you know, all the iconic songs of that period. And like, you know, they crafted that and they picked that song to start. And it worked great. It sets a tone well and, you know, sets, you know, that character well too.
That's great. And there's some subtleties of when there's like these little montage moments and, you know, we're going to like the board of like, you know, like the law, the rules, the laws of Nike, or there's little moments where we hear subtle hints at the time and place. How did you guys start to spot those? I think one of them to me was when we're intercutting game footage later on with, you know, when Sonny confronts Michael and explains his future, intercutting game and real life footage. And he says, you're Michael Jordan and your story is going to make us want to fly. And then you guys start, it's a very, everything's building to this moment that, oh my gosh, we need to sell Michael Jordan on this shoe. How did you guys get to that point? Maybe Andy, what was your sense of just building up? Because it's a very powerful performance, but yet you guys also sonically are very subtle and gradual to build up to that.
Yeah, I think you just sort of go to the end point really of where you want to be, and you sort of back away from that. You know, that's the only way you can really build something like that. I mean, truthfully, the build is in the performance. You know, and that's the key to it. You're really trying to get out of the way of a great performance and great writing, and so everything else is inevitably going to be sort of subtle around that. And whatever you're doing musically, you know, you're kind of hold back until you need some sort of emotional release from it, and it's guided really just by the performance in situations like that. You don't really plan something, you just sort of let it flow in a sense. And that's to do with picture editing as well, obviously, in the way that was constructed. I just want to revisit one quick thing from earlier, though, that I thought was interesting was, you know, you're talking about the phone sequence. I think there's a lot of phone sequences in this film, and you know, there's an awful lot of toys and things these days that you can do to make the sound of a phone sound realistic. But the truth of the matter is, when you're dealing with something that's got a lot of story, which this film 100% does through the phone, it's about getting clarity. And I think that one of the things we really tried to achieve was that you never felt taken out by the fact that you were listening to a phone. It had to be as powerful a delivery as if the, you know, they weren't on a phone. And I think that's an important point for a film with such a strong story as this.
William, I would love to ask you just about what's the sensibility of going off script, of improvising? Do these guys riff at all, or are they pretty locked in?
Well, no, they ripped. they ripped. So when you have actors doing that, I mean, you just have to be prepared, you know. And sometimes we do rehearsals, but what happens is that you rehearse, and then after you do the rehearsal, the actors get into it, they just keep going. So there's sometimes there's overlapping, or where you have to make sure you have two booms working. You have the wires, the body mics on them, where you can cover everything. So to make sure that post has all the sound that's needed.
I don't know if this is true, but towards the end, obviously, when Dolores calls Sonny to inform him that they're going to take the offer and they go through the deal points, there's a contrast of backgrounds. That's what I wrote down. Susan, was there because I felt like it gets very intimate, almost like The Office goes away and we have a little bit of the background for Dolores. But what was the intent there with that scene? Because it's a long dialogue scene, but it's one of the most important ones.
Yeah, I think that's a deliberate attempt to sculpt the psychology of that scene and to sort of rack focus through sound, right, into that point of the conversation and kind of emphasize some intensity getting into Sonny's head there at that point.
As a sound team, is that, I mean, you, Andy, Eileen, you know, on the board, how this track, like I said, there's a lot of needle drops. There's a lot of great montages of we're just watching kind of everyday life in the office. how did you find overall the dynamics of this film? Because it's, there are no big, you know, set pieces or explosions. There's explosive, you know, game footage. But how did you guys find dynamics in this track, especially when you have all the flexibility, I suppose, of, you know, mixing for Atmos?
Well, I think one of the things, and Eileen, jump in as well here, but I think one of the things that helped us was that there was a fairly good structured temporary mix that was done early on before we actually started the final mix of the movie, with Ben's influence in a big way in terms of how these sequences would sort of go together. And so I think that was our sort of roadmap. But I think that when we actually got together on the stage, we just kind of felt things as they went along. You know, there was a natural flow. And often with movies that I've mixed, you know, things that flow and form fairly easily and obviously are all indications of how well the script and the directing and the picture editing is, to be honest. And I think that's the thing. It's a culmination of a sequences like this that show the real craft of putting the film together, and we just become an extension of that in some sort of way. I'm not trying to downplay it, what we do, but I feel that there's a reactive sense to that, which I think Eileen and I were very much in sync with how we approached that as mixers. Would you agree, Eileen?
Yeah, totally. You put it really well. So, you know, for us, it's in a sense, we're just, you know, like Andy said, we're just reacting to it and help supporting it. And with this film, you know, sometimes with the energy, sometimes, like, you know, when we first were introduced to the office, when they are walking through, the camera tracks the characters walking through the office and, you know, going past through different departments and stuff, you know, Ben and Billy wanted us to feel like, you know, the sound travels with them. And so they shouldn't sound generic, like a generic bed. So, you know, together with like Loop Walla, Effects Walla, and like specific effects backgrounds that are kind of like moving per se. And they want to hear any like very distinct conversations, but they need to punctuate different moments. So even though, you know, it's like a quick walk and talk through the office, like they're very different layers and specific events are happening and that we move through that scene. Or, you know, like you said, like getting into quietness into his head, that then we need to go from a high to a low, so we have like a place to go in the mix. Some things we may play more internal and less, like, you know, less hectic and busy. Or, you know, with the offices, like Phil's floor may be more pristine, polite. Electronic phone rings because, you know, he has all the latest and greatest things. Well, the downstairs floor where Sonny is and Howard are, they're both at, they're more like a worker bees floor. So we use like more like a bell ring. Phones than electronic phones, because they have the hand-me-down kind of equipment, things like that.
I will say there is a, you know, when he visits the 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee, it's mm-hmm. like you're there. Like, it's such a simple scene, but it's such a fun one. Willie, I'd love to ask you, what is it like working with a director both in front and behind the camera when you're on set? How did you find Ben in terms of his attention and how he worked with his actors and worked with you?
Well, I mean, you know, Ben, I mean, when Ben and I had a meeting prior to shooting this film. And the first thing he said to me that, you know, this will be our third film together and I don't want to do any ADR. So that gets your attention. I mean, and you know, I feel the same way. And it really works well, you know, for post. If I do a great job on production, well, we don't have to do ADR, but Ben is cool to work with. He's good to work with. He lays it out. And then, you know, I know what I have to do from my standpoint and with my sound team. So we're totally prepared. With my sound team, we're prepared to do whatever we have to do. So I'm always ready. So and you know, by rehearsing, which some directors don't always do, they just shoot the rehearsal. But that ensure us that we're ready to go and that we can do a great job.
Wasn't it true that for a lot of the shoot, the picture editing was very close by the set, so that sometimes Ben or Matt would just run down, look at something in the edit room, run back and redo something on the set slightly differently? Did you find that, Willie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And not only that, that was very helpful for me because, you know, sometimes like the editor would hear maybe little things, little noises, extraneous noises. And he would say, well, you know, there's a little noise on this track or, you know, check on this. And it was nice to have the editor close by because we could communicate. So if there was something that, you know, I need to make an adjustment or something that was outside of the set, I had no control over, at least we were both on the same page. So it made it really, really good to very seldom you get to work with an editor right nearby where you can That's communicate. And it made it work so much better for all of us.
That's great.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for on that set. I can't imagine how much fun and just the collaboration must have been like. You guys, thank you so much, Eileen, Andy, Willie, Susan. Congratulations on a fantastic film. I just thoroughly enjoyed the story and what you guys put together. So thank you so much. And lastly, thank you to Amazon Studios and to Behind the Slate Screening Series for making this possible. I'm Michael Coleman from the Soundworks Collection, and thank you for watching.